that you don't. I've done things that you won't. There's nothing like a trail of blood to find your way back home. I was waiting for my host. What came next was so much worse. It took a funeral to make me feel alive. Just open your eyes. Just open your eyes and see that life is...
Chapter 5. I can't believe you got yourself another month of psych leave, Thorne says. Fox assumes he's talking to himself because he has his face buried in his folded arms, and he's definitely not talking to Fox when he's face down on the heavy, ornate temple table. For shooting General Skywalker. Or maybe he is talking to Fox. As far as he knows, no other clone has tried to shoot Skywalker lately. If they had, Fox would have given them a medal. It was only a graze, he says dismissively, and scans the hall outside the open door of the wide, spacious, tastefully relaxing meeting room for any trace of tan robes. Maces are distinctive, even among the beige and terracotta of the Jedi as a whole. The darker, sandy brown of his robes was one of the first things that drew Fox's eye across a crowded hallway. It makes Mace look even more imposing than his height and bearing otherwise might. The contrast makes the white leggings and ivory undershirt catch Fox's attention even more. And he thinks of Mace on his desk, sash undone, his fingers just about to reach that pale undershirt, and wishes with all his heart he'd pulled his blaster without even giving Skywalker a warning. Fox, Thorne says, and there's one dark eye fixed on Fox above the white of his vambrace. Why are you looking besotted? We're talking about you trying to murder a Jedi. Were we? Fox asks, not actually listening. There's a flash of brown that's almost the right color, but even as he looks, it resolves into Adi Gallia, walking shoulder to shoulder with Davijan, heads bent together over the blue glow of what looks like starfighter schematics. With a disgusted huff, Fox leans back in his seat, displeased, and opens his mouth. Stone puts his hand over it. Whatever you're about to say, please don't, he tells Fox. Davijan already hates you. You don't need to make it worse. Fox rolls his eyes, reaching up to haul Stone's hand away. He's just jealous, he says haughtily. Then, pitch to Carrie, he's never forgiven me for beating him in that simulation. Davijan stops dead, raising his head to fix Fox with a look that could probably incinerate a lesser man. You didn't beat me, he says, pointed, as Adi raises an amused brow. You hacked the simulator and crashed the system. It wasn't against the rules, Fox says smugly. That means I won. Commander, Adi says, and lays a hand on Davijan's arm. I heard you were injured recently. I'm glad to see you're well enough to attend meetings. He's not, Thorne says, face still buried in his crossed arms. He's really, really not. We tried to tell him to stay in the bunk room and confiscated his weapons, Stone agrees tiredly. Fox mildly resents the tone, but a flicker of brown at the far end of the hall distracts him before he can retaliate. But he found a knife and threatened to stab us. Adi's other brow rises too, and Davijan snorts. One more reason Alpha 17 should have drowned you in the diving pool, he says. Alpha 17 could have tried, but Fox has absolute faith he could have escaped. 17's weakness is that he never expects the groin shot. It's a distinct advantage, given that Fox has never once hesitated to go straight for the balls if the opportunity presents itself. Ha, he says, and deliberately lets his gaze slide to Adi. So, is this the shooting star you wrote all those trashy poems about? Stone slaps his free hand hard over Fox's mouth, just as Davijan makes a noise like a lizard monkey getting its tail stepped on, and flings his helmet with devastating accuracy. Fox knew it was coming, because Davijan is predictable in everything except his piloting, and he slams himself back in the chair. But Stone is there. The helmet stops short in midair, all forward momentum banished, and spins there for a moment. Fox blinks at it, and Davijan does the same. And, after a long, long second, the bucket rises, soars back to Davijan, and drops into his arms. "Commander Davijan," Mace says, and Fox's heartbeat trips in his chest. "I believe it would be best for Commander Fox to avoid any more head injuries. If a second one results in him actually shooting Knight Skywalker, I'll be obligated to plan a funeral, and my schedule is currently full." "Mace," Fox says, and gets to his feet. Or rather, he tries to say, and tries to get to his feet, because Stone's hand is still firmly over his mouth, pinning him down to his chair. "General Windu," Davijan says, and snaps to attention. "Sorry, sir." Mace inclines his head, passing Davijan without glancing back, in a way that makes Fox feel slightly smug. "Master Galia?" he asks. Adi folds her arms over his chest, looking amused. "I remember how Padawans work when they grow up together in the crash," she says. "He tried to kill Skywalker?" Fox peels Stone's other hand off his mouth, too. "I wasn't trying to kill him," he says. "I just wanted to see if I could hit him." He could, too, which is incredibly heartening news. This time, it wasn't a life-threatening wound, but Fox has faith that if he tries a little harder, if Skywalker doesn't see him coming, he'll actually manage that headshot he tried to get. Adi hums, interested. "Is that why Obi-Wan has been up in arms?" she asks. And Mace sighs through his nose. It makes her snicker, and she reaches out, catches Davijan's arm again. "Commander, I think we're late to our meeting with the engineers, and on the way you can tell me about your forays into poetry. I've always had a soft spot for the art." "You have?" Davijan asks, just a little desperate. And then quickly coughs. Fox is an asshole. They were just for fun. "Shooting star that only rises, never falls," Fox quotes, loudly and mockingly, because he is absolutely an asshole. "I trace your path with fingertips against the sky and yearn." Mace deftly keys the meeting room door shut just before Davijan's helmet hits it at high speeds. He keys it shut with himself inside, though, so Fox isn't about to complain. "General," Stone says, a little sheepishly, and pulls away from Fox to stand at something resembling attention. "I'm sorry for the disturbance, sir. We didn't mean for you to have to get involved."
"It's quite all right, commanders," Mace says,
and his gaze drops right to Fox, who gives him a lazy smirk and a tip of his head. It makes humor touch the curve of Mace's mouth, and he asks,
"I didn't expect to see you in the temple again so soon, Fox."
"Didn't manage to bring flowers for you this time," Fox says and pushes to his feet, closing the space between them. When he holds out a hand, Mace slips his own hand into it, and Fox brings Mace's fingers up, kisses his knuckles, presses a thumb lightly to the center of Mace's palm. The catch of his breath, just slightly unsteady, is everything Fox could ever possibly want.
"The ones you gave me last time are still in my office," Mace says, quietly, warm, and Fox smiles.
"Doesn't mean I don't want to bring you more," he counters, and turns his hand, pulls Mace a step closer, until they're nearly touching. What he wants is to push him up against the wall, finally kiss him, maybe get his neat robes open and his fingers in that pale, tempting undershirt, but
Fox, Thorn says, sounding like he's about 3 seconds away from dragging Fox back by his ear. Leave General Windu alone. We're here to meet with General Drawlig about the Chancellor's death. Fox rolls his eyes instantly and obviously. Humor flickers, settles in the lines of Mace's face. Given that Commander Fox is currently on leave, he says gravely, I presume he won't be necessary for your meeting. He meets Fox's gaze and says, I was about to meet with my initiate theater class a level down, if you would like to accompany me, Fox. Fox has no particular fondness for children, and his only experience with theater is the absolute headache of ensuring Palpatine's security through his trips to the opera house. But given the offer, given that Mace is the one making it, there's no way Fox would ever say no. Sir, Thorn starts, sounding alarmed. I'd love to, Fox says, right over him, and Mace inclines his head, turns his fingers so his hand is curled around Fox's, and pulls him out of the room. As the door closes, Fox can just hear Thorn's incredulous, That worked? Fox is actually managing it? The door thumps shut, and Fox is so perfectly smug, he could explode. Mace's humor is obvious as he turns them towards the far end of the hall. They care for you deeply, he observes. Criffing nerds, Fox says, fond. They're cowards. If they didn't want me to come, they should have locked me in the bunk room. Mace snorts quietly. I don't believe that would have worked as they hoped. You seem the type to overcome whatever obstacles are placed in your path. Well, Fox says, pleased. They could have at least tried. He considers Mace's hand, still wrapped up in his, and then looks ahead of them, to where the hallway drops down and curves in a long arc towards the next level below them. Potentially, he should let go now that they're out of the room, but he doesn't want to. General Kenobi has been giving you trouble? He hadn't planned to shoot Kenobi too, but if it will help Mace, Fox is down for a bit of big game hunting. Precisely his usual sort of trouble, Mace says, clearly unperturbed. Knight Skywalker is someone he holds very dear. Fox huffs, displeased. Just because it's the usual trouble doesn't mean he doesn't want to fix it somehow. Send him out to hunt down Hondo, he says. Hondo likes him, right? Mace snorts, inclining his head to a pair of Zabrak Jedi coming up the hall, though he doesn't pause. A headache equal to the one he gives me? He asks dryly. That seems like a fitting mission. Aura will probably happily throw Hondo at Kenobi as soon as she's done with Dooku. Fox will send her that information, too. As a bonus. Mace deserves the break. Just don't send Cody. The last thing he needs is to get any ideas from a pirate. Mace pauses, then casts Fox a sideways glance. Ideas about Obi-Wan? Fox wrinkles his nose. Even Cody's got better taste than that. Kenobi flirts with Ventress. There's a moment where it looks like Mace is going to argue, but then he very definitely doesn't. Exactly, Fox says, point made. No, ideas about piracy. Cody's crazy. Mace slants a glance at him and says nothing. Very loud and very amused. Different kinds of crazy, Fox informs him, unbothered. Cody's liable to punch Grievous again if Kenobi isn't distracting him by dropping his lightsaber in the middle of a fight. That, at least, makes Mace look faintly pained for a moment, and he sighs through his nose. Well, if he could use time with a more reasonable Jedi, Quinlan has been needing some time in the light of day. Perhaps he'll be a moderating influence.
I know you think you're joking, Fox says, but it's not as much of a joke as you think it is. Mace opens his mouth to respond, then jerks. He misses a step, a pained sound breaking from his throat, and stumbles. And Fox only just manages to catch him around the waist and hull him up against him, slamming back into the wall with the force of his overcorrection. Mace, he says, alarmed. And this isn't something he accounted for. This isn't a problem he was able to cut off at the pass. Mace's eyes are squeezed tightly shut, his expression twisted. He presses a hand over his eyes, breathing rough, and says,
"Forgive me. Something's happened."
Something twinges deep inside Fox's skull, and he looks up, half a second before running steps sound. "Master Windu!" A Padawan boy with bright red hair cries, "Master Windu, there's a ship landing, and the pilot says she's Master Fae!" Mace's fingers are tight around Fox's arm, and his breath comes in a rasp that's equal parts disbelief and relief.
"Get Master Ali," he orders, "and have someone find Masters Saw and Kolar."
Pushing away from Fox, he says,
"I apologize, Fox, but..."
"I'll come," Fox says, because there's something itching deep down in his bones, impossible to resist. He keeps one hand on Mace's elbow, steadying him. And, after a brief moment, Mace nods, turns, picks up a run. Fox falls into step, matching him back up towards the landing platform above.
"Important Jedi?" he asks,
because he's never heard her mentioned before. But Mace's reaction seems like the one he'd have if Yoda were involved.
"The oldest Jedi still alive, and the most powerful," Mace says. "We thought she died 4 months ago, but..."
"But..." Fox gets that kind of reaction, and he nods. The next level is ahead of him, and he ducks through the door that Mace waves open, out onto the platform, and stops dead. A small Sephi woman with sandy brown hair is just sliding down from the cockpit of a starfighter, her robes stained and torn, her expression steady. She turns, reaches, and a body floats down after her. An older human man, then a Bothan woman with scorched fur. There's a clatter from the cockpit, then the lurch of a body not entirely in control of itself. And a human man with dark hair and a scarred face catches the side of the fighter, almost overbalances. Hands catch him, clone hands, and Rex and Bakara steady him, then help him slide down, right next to the Sephi woman. The familiar Sephi woman, Fox thinks, and he almost can't breathe.
"Master Fae," Mace says,
and he's past Fox in an instant, striding towards the returning Jedi, the helping clones.
"We thought you were lost on Quetta."
Fae looks up, and her gaze slides right past Mace, straight to Fox. Her eyes are storm gray, and Fox remembers. He remembers the touch of her hands, the feeling of his broken spine repairing itself, her whisper just a little too soft to hear.
"Mace." Though she still hasn't looked away from Fox. "Forgive the delay in our return. I couldn't do more than hold us as we were until the darkness in the galaxy lifted with the Sith Lord's death."
Mace stops short, surprise so sharp it could cut, and Fox holds Fae's gaze and grins, all teeth. He touches two fingers to his brow, a silent salute, and Fae inclines her head in return. Just slightly.
"Help me with the others," she tells Mace, unwavering. "I did what I could for them, but they'll need more in the halls of healing, and Antilles needs to sleep for at least a full day. And where is that bull-headed Padawan of mine?"
Mace closes his eyes for a long second, and when Fox steps close, rests a hand against his back, the touch of Mace's hand is silent gratitude, taking strength.
"Master Fae,"
he says, and it's quiet, so full of relief it almost hurts. I'm very glad to see you haven't changed at all.
Not in any ways that can't be undone with a bit of effort, Faye says, and her gaze finally slides away from Fox to the door onto the platform as it slides open. Stas Ali appears at a dead run, and Faye smiles, moving to meet her with quick steps. She rests one hand on Fox's shoulder as she passes, just for an instant, but it feels like praise, like thanks, and Fox breathes out.